Hey everyone, I'm Ayana.
And I'm Delilah.
And we're the Non-Corporate Girls. Coming to you live, episode 33.
Yes, we are at Impact Club today. Shout out to Benchmark Creative for allowing us to be here today with them. So, Tasha Morris and Tiffany Hachette are the duo that make up Benchmark Creative Agency, a company that aims to help brands find their voice online and offline. Currently, they are working on their second year of Brooklyn Marketing Week, and that's what brings them here today. So, welcome, ladies.
Yay. Hello. Thanks for having us.
So, we just want to jump right in because you guys are really interesting. We've had the pleasure of being in your presence and seeing some things you've done, and we kind of want our audience to get to know you a little bit more.
And because you're from Brooklyn.
Okay, so why did you decide to start Benchmark Creative Group, and what were some of the initial challenges that you faced?
And you have both answer. I don't know if the answers are different, but yeah, who wants to jump in first?
Don't all jump in at once.
I love that the challenges part.
Right?
So, Tasha and I, we met in undergrad. We went to school in Philly. Shout out to Philly, Temple University. Temple.
I applied there.
Really?
I got accepted too. I didn't go, but.
We could have.
Temple is strong.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like, strong, but it's on the low.
They take it personal. Like, yeah. Hashtag Temple me.
Temple.
Exactly.
I have some sisters in Temple. Shout out to
Cussie. See? So that's where we met. And then she went and did her thing out in LA and was living the fabulous film, TV life.
Yeah.
And I was out here in New York doing marketing and publishing. And we just worked for people for so long. Mm-hmm. And she came back to New York. I was in grad school. We were getting offers to freelance. Mm-hmm. We were like, well, how about we join forces and form a company and you can pay our company instead?
Right.
So she had skills, I had skills, and we complemented each other. And so we were just like, look, we're in this transitional point in our life. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that can happen? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Right.
And now here we are.
You have degrees to pull back on, like, you know.
Right. You know?
What year was this?
This was 3 years ago. It was 2014.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So here we are 3 years later, still here.
Still strong. Yeah.
But every day is a hustle, though. Like
we know.
Every day is a hustle. So you talk about challenges. I know Tasha can talk about that. Like, we look back at where we came from, mm-hmm. and we're like, wow, can't believe we had, you know, we didn't know where a client was going to come from.
Fair.
And now we've been blessed to work with so many different brands and partnerships. But trust me, every day is a hustle.
Right.
It is. And I mean, they say businesses flunk after year one. So mm-hmm. the fact that y'all still in year three, whether the hustle, the struggle, and the maybes and woulda, coulda, like y'all still here. So.
And strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
And still partners.
Right.
Which we're going to get into later.
Because that'd be another part of it.
Listen.
That part.
Right. That one touched the nerve.
Everybody's like, like we in church.
It ain't easy. Right.
It's like all the bad breakups to get to that one person. Like,
it's a relationship for real.
It is.
She's my work wife.
Right.
My work husband. How are you?
I agree. Ayana's that to me.
Challenges, I feel like we still have them. I don't think they ever go away. I would say one consistent one is working with men or being hired by men has been a challenge with us.
Particular men or industries?
Yeah. Men in certain industries.
It crosses industries.
I'm going to generalize.
Because I have my fair share of like not dealing with people like in the hip hop realm sometimes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I get it. It can be an industry. Like, our favorite is no longer hospitality. That is not a favorite of ours.
Okay.
In the beginning it was cool, you know, foodie, all that stuff like that, and tasting the foods, and that ended. So I would say challenges have been men. I would say challenges I've also been sometimes your services, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you are offering and what the client needs. Sometimes you're not seeing eye to eye on things. I would say also, pricing. You know, you want to help everybody. You can't help everybody.
Right.
How do you scale? How do you sometimes maybe meet demand? You don't want to say no.
Exactly.
You know, you like, yeah, we're at capacity, but we don't want to miss this opportunity or a client or something like that. So those are some of the challenges that we've come across in the past 3 years.
Yeah. Is your team just you two or the other hands on deck? Because that meets a deciding factor.
Yes, so we have hands on deck from interns to VAs and then freelancers. But day to day, it's
And just talking about the men thing really quickly, like, it manifests itself in different forms, right? So you asked about, like, is it industry specific? No. And this isn't saying, like, all men are bad or anything like that. It's just saying
we've had
that
good ones.
We've had
that,
good
like,
ones.
That, referred us to others, which left to a big opportunity.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, my God, thank you. We didn't do anything,
right?
You know, but be ourselves, and you referred us. Thank you so much.
Right.
Rare.
But it does
happen.
Okay. And then realizing, you know, when, you know, there are passive aggressive ways and people, you know, you come in with your experience and they're still calling you girls or they're still second guessing things.
The men are doing
that.
Yeah.
Like, we've walked into, you know, a meeting and it's nothing but like white men, but you guys asked us to be here. You guys have the need, but you still feel the need to validate yourself by demeaning, and it's subtle,
right?
So,
it's not like they're being
right, it's not aggressive outlines, it's subtle, but it's just recognizing what it is and just not allowing other people's impressions affect how you feel about yourself,
right?
Absolutely.
So, just knowing that at the end of the day, whether they want your business or not, you know your worth, and you don't allow anyone else to chip away at what your worth is,
right?
Absolutely. That's very interesting.
Wow, okay. So, moving into partnerships, how would you guys label your dynamic?
A marriage.
Partnerships with other companies?
With you guys.
Each other.
Oh! Yeah.
It's a marriage.
My bad. That partnership. Okay. Yeah, it is like a marriage. We are yin and yang. There's no other way to put it. We have the same zodiac sign, but we're a complete opposite.
Oh, you guys have the same.
What is it?
We're both Leos.
Oh.
No,
It was like.
No, my sister's a Leo. First of all, we're compatible. Leo, Sagittarius, and Aries are compatible.
I just realized the Aries thing recently. But
yeah, my sister's an Aries, and just Leo women are super dominant, like.
Strong, well, that's why we're like, whoa.
So it's a good whoa. Like, and there's two of y'all, and if y'all getting along, that is great, because everybody just has a Leo. I've noticed, like, one person is the hair, like, you know? So the fact that y'all both can share that space,
yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely share space. She was like, okay, you know what? You got this. You either it's a client, a project, or a discussion, you know what? And we definitely can do the agree to disagree kind of thing.
We do that a
lot. That brings me to kind of my next question to piggyback off of, how do you guys handle any type of disagreements or, you know?
Like, because the decision needs to be made.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I think it depends. So, like, we'll each own, like, everyone has to take responsibility, and we're very much of, okay, are you owning this or not? And so we'll communicate, and she gets tired of me saying this. I say it all the time, straight talk makes for straight understanding. And I believe that. So tell me what you need, and then we'll try to get it for you. And that goes for each other too. So if I see that, you know, this, she's just not in the mood for it, then I'll fall back. But I need to come back because I need an answer on this. And if she knows that I'm owning a project, she's not gonna nag me about it because she knows it's handled. Olivia Postal. Exactly.
Yeah.
But if she disagrees, I don't take it personally. That's her opinion, and vice versa. Because we're both very opinionated, but we respect that. And we don't want people just saying yes and agreeing with us, because that's not how you grow.
Right.
So if I don't agree with something, she hears it. And I'm like, oh, that's, I listen.
I hear you.
I hear you. And we respect each other's ideas. It is. We respect each other's ideas and we listen.
So what you're saying is...
Right.
This is what I heard.
We make sure I hear it correctly.
This is what I heard.
And we make sure we do that.
You are hangry. Let me get you a snack out of my bag.
All the time.
That's what I thought I heard. There's a lot of noise.
Yeah.
But what I think I'm hearing is your stomach. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah. I stay keeping snacks in my bag.
Right.
So
right.
If sometimes if she doesn't eat, oh, she's not somebody you want to be around. Right. So I'm like, oh, okay. Hold on. Here, eat this. Uh-huh. I'm going to come back in 10 minutes and we'll have a conversation because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your hungry representative.
Right. Exactly. And I need that layer removed.
I need that layer removed.
I think that's key to partnerships.
Okay.
You know, some people are like, oh, I want to work with my best friend or whatever and stuff like that. Or family members. You have to know what that person's strength is. And like Tiffany said in the beginning of this conversation, she knew what her skills were, she knew what my skills were. This is what we're bringing to the table, and this is what this person can handle, and if we both can't handle something, then we need to outsource. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not trying to do everything ourselves. So definitely knowing the personality, the skill set of who your partner is, and then marrying that together. I think that's the best way to do a partnership. Not absolutely. This is just my friend or something like that.
Yeah.
What are your skills? What are our goals? How can we make this company grow together? And being on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way to work with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The goals are very important. So we do a check-in on the goals several times a year. Okay. Because at the end of the day, you know, like Tasha said, you may have a great time getting mimosas with your best friend, but if y'all don't share the same goals, then y'all shouldn't be in business together. Absolutely. And so
you mean work goals as far as the business goals or personal goals?
Both.
Okay.
Because it ties into Tasha wants to be in 5 years ties into the business and vice versa.
Right.
So regarding the business, we check in several times a year. We have a meeting. We're like, okay, well, where are we now? Where do we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And not just this year. Where do we want to be a year or two from now? And then let's talk about the personal life. Because at the end of the day, if you want to be, you know...
Starting kids and family,
that changes everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where you can come in to help more than before or
exactly.
whatever. So, like, I got to pick up that slack maybe.
Right. And knowing that ahead of time so that there are no surprises. Like, hey, girl, I'm pregnant.
And you can prepare.
Right. And we can prepare.
Got it. So what are you guys' individual roles in the company?
Sure. Operations management, because I'm such a people person.
Or not. So we have to give you that challenge so you can work through it.
So you have to stretch her.
Right, right, right. You got to put you in the
uncomfortable. Yeah, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
There we go. Yes.
I would definitely say, as part of this relationship and partnership, she pushes me out of my comfort zone and also pushes me to be better. I can definitely be sometimes like, not today. I'm good right here. Yeah. And she's like, no, let's step it up. Let's go up a next level. So I would say that is definitely a benefit of having a partner, because you can be an entrepreneur on your own, yes. Mm-hmm. But without that support team, it's going to be super hard. It may even take you way longer to get stuff accomplished, you know? So, that part.
So operations on this.
Yes.
So she's operations, and then I'm more like creative director, CEO. So like, she is a people person. She just doesn't want to admit it. But
how does that work?
You ambivert, maybe.
You're like the most extroverted introvert. So like, when you get her out,
this is not about me.
She's out. So
that
basically,
interesting.
So that's an example
you right now. She's getting red.
I got an example. So my role is CEO and creative director, because I focus on strategy long term, as well as like the vision and the branding of the company. So partnerships, strategic partnerships, and creative. That's me. So with that, we have to do biz development. So I am researching all the time who we need to align ourselves with, what events we need to go to, where do we need to be. I want us both to go. So we go. And so this is the first time she's going to hear this, but she doesn't know this. So sometimes...
Yes,
hear that first.
Sometimes I am late to the events on purpose so that you can work the room, because I know that you say you're not a people person.
Look at that. Look at that strategy.
So, but the thing is, she always kills it. I get there, she's like, I talk to this person, I talk to that person. I was like,
yes. Go ahead.
Because I believe whatever you say you are is what you're going to be. But if you don't say it, words have power. If you don't say it, mm-hmm. then it's not real. So you are a people person. It's just that you told yourself that you're not.
Wow. Yeah,
look at that.
Wow.
Your cheerleader right here. She's like, arms are crossed, guys. Like,
you see, the face, right? I wish this was video. You see this look on her face?
And she was thriving that day when I met her.
But did you come late that day? Mm-hmm. Yes, I knew you came late that day. That was a test.
Look at that. Mind blown. That day, I talked to all the people that I already knew.
Right.
But forging
but
relationships.
Talking.
Yeah. You was out there. I don't have a problem talking to people I already know.
No, she talks to new people too. But
it's not like it's more business. It's not like I'm trying to speak to you because this is what I want to do. It's like more like I have to do it.
Yes.
And so I'm doing it with a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I go back, okay, this is who you should talk to.
This is who you got to follow up with or whatever.
Tap out.
So it's like a tag team.
Yeah.
And I have no problem doing it because awesome. I don't believe in asking for permission and I don't believe in the word no. So
yeah, because I'm
going to
find that yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Wonderful.
Well then, quickly going back to when you said you outsourced, when did you guys know you needed to start outsourcing some things that you guys maybe couldn't do together, etc.?
Oh my gosh.
Because it's important for people to know what they can handle.
You know?
When you fail or you burn yourself out.
Yeah.
Mm, burnout.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huge.
People think that they can get it all done. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. You know, the t-shirt, Beyonce, you know, I have the same amount of hours as Beyonce. I have the same amount of hours. Yes, they have people.
They have people. Lots and lots of people. There's teams.
Beyonce has
a team squad.
Right.
Exactly. Like, I could be like Beyonce too if I had that power,
right?
Exactly. They have people. So we'll get you some people.
Uh-huh.
And you too can be like Beyonce and Oprah and Rihanna and all of them.
Yeah, people
that buy it.
Exactly. I wish they sold. Is there a package for people?
Anyone that wants to start up, do a startup, the people package.
And the right people, because how has it been get outsourcing? Because, you know, that comes with compatibility
right.
as well.
I'm sure it's going to be testing.
You really want me to take compatibility?
You
really?
Said,
the people person wants to take the
compatibility. I'm going to pass the baton. There you go. That's you.
Well, in my experience with people, I let them go quickly.
Like, oh, bless your soul.
You know, so I say operations in human, I guess, HR or whatever, is because I do a lot of the interviews.
Okay.
Some people look good on paper.
Right.
You know, but when it comes down to actually doing the task, and then, don't get me wrong, I know how I want it done.
Right.
And how we would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that level of expectation.
Right.
Right? So I'll say that. But at the same time, I also want you to step up to the occasion. You know what I mean? Show and prove what it is that you can do. So I guess I've been disappointed with people we've hired, meaning we pay them. And then even interns.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going on with these young people today.
The crop is not that great.
I sound like an old person. But
the crop is not that great.
They're
not hungry.
Because they don't have to.
I'm like, oh, you must have a plate full of food. You don't want to eat because you good? Mm-hmm. You eating steak now?
I'm hungry. It's such a divide. I feel like even from our generation, I would say that we are around the same age. Mm-hmm. Is the generational gap seems like too far.
Yeah.
Too far. And they are super entitled. I'm still considered the millennial. Like, I'm on that cusp.
Right.
I get it. So I'm still on the wave of where I remember beepers and we didn't have Google. Like, I still have that. But I also know how to take initiative, find the information, get the answer on my own, and not wait for somebody to tell me.
Oh my God.
But there's people that are either or. And if you get the one that's the or, it's just like,
It's like they were born with a silver spoon when they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but they feel that way. So they don't have to take initiative. Hard work.
They feel like the world owes them.
Nothing.
They don't even try. And like they're not ashamed about not trying.
I don't know how they will succeed, like unless they can own their own businesses. But
at one point, I just feel like there's so many of the same type of businesses. If we could have collectively come together and be popping as one, rather than all these, like, let's say boutiques, for example, the hair boutiques and the teas and the this. Like, there's so many of the same mediocre shit.
Yeah.
So, like, y'all want to be separately mediocre, or y'all want to come together? And
I'm not here. I mean, some people are comfortable with mediocrity.
Yes.
That's what it is.
But if there's anything that you grab from this lesson, it's like, outwork everyone.
Yes. And they don't. They just do...
And it's the bare minimum.
It sucks. It's so disappointing.
It's been nice. Mm-hmm. Do not look for a recommendation for me.
We had one. Remember? So we had an intern.
Which one?
The guy. Oh. So we had an intern.
On the better side? Or
on the worst side. He phoned in everything. Like, we give our interns a test before we hire them.
Yes.
The test was decent. And we had a need. So... we have a probationary period. I swear, like, I think he just, like, literally just fell asleep half that internship. Then we fired him.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, like, a month and a half later, he reaches out, or someone reaches out for a reference.
In behalf of him?
On behalf of him.
The audacity.
He thought he was going to get one?
I was like, what internship did he think he was at? Because I know it wasn't for this company. So... no, at that point, it's better I say nothing, because if I tell you, then...
You're not going to like it.
You're not going to like the words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. You know I responded. Because I need this foolishness to stop.
Someone has to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes. First of all, somebody stop using our name. Uh-huh. Take it off.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or don't say that you was on here for the entire week.
Right.
I need you to stop.
You phoned it in and we fired you, so no.
Don't send nobody to come ask us. No,
the cosign is not.
But see, that's the entitlement. Mm-hmm. Like, they thought just because he did the internship half or not, that you was going to give him a recommendation, that he deserved a recommendation.
Here's a rule. If you get fired, don't go back and ask for a recommendation.
For anything.
Like,
right?
Don't.
That's not even on good terms. Nobody ever wants to be fired. Like, you know,
exactly.
That comes with the connotation that you didn't do good work.
Exactly. Right? So don't turn around and be like, no, but they'll write me a recommendation. You might not like the recommendation that they write for you.
You might not get that job, bro.
Just saying.
No. Okay.
Yes. We did have a good one. Yes, let's speak on the good.
So all is not lost.
All is not lost.
I mean, we lost her, but she was amazing. So she was a virtual intern, right?
Okay.
She was in, was her last year?
Yeah.
Of senior college?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might have been, or the semester after she finished school. And so she was interning locally, and then she was interning with us virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Like, she could do graphics, she could do tweaks, and don't get me wrong, she wasn't perfect,
right.
But she grew.
With willingness.
So willing.
And then she grew throughout the internship. Mm. We could see
the growth.
She took initiative.
I was going to say she was on it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's when you really want to learn as a person.
Yes.
Like, I want, you know, you being an intern, we want to pour into you as well.
Yeah. So we're always
exactly.
Like, we have our bi-weekly calls. Hey, what's going on with you? Any new changes in, you know, your world? Because again, it affects what you do.
Right.
Two, are you getting what you need out of this internship?
Right.
That constantly.
Yeah.
What are you not learning? What can we help you?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so she would ask her questions, all this stuff, to the point where she was like, I had such a great internship. She had moved on. She got a full-time job or something like that. And we're like, that's great. I knew she wasn't going to last because of the type of person she was.
She was hungry.
That job was not for her.
Right.
Got it.
She reached out to us again and told us, oh, yeah, I got a new job. And I was like, of course you did. I knew you were going to get a new job.
Right.
My job was not meant for you. And she's so happy where she is. And then when she came into town, she was like, I know I have to meet you guys.
Because
again, we've been talking over the phone, email,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So we met with her. She was like, best internship she had with us.
Mm-hmm.
She wished she could stay on. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was a really, we're like, we got to find a way to get this
girl.
I
was like, can she get hired?
Yeah.
Right.
We got to find a way. Amazing, amazing. Like, we saw a job opportunity. We were like, girl, you should take it.
Right.
She's amazing.
Right.
So, which is another aspect of being like a small business, there's not too many hands on deck. We're like, you know how you see the hustle is every day. Mm-hmm. So speaking of where you guys scale, with how did that happen for you? Like, where are the funds coming from to like support the business?
That's an excellent question.
Hey,
that sounds like a prayer.
This was a visual interview because I cannot with these expressions.
That sounds like a prayer right there. Where are we?
It is a constant prayer.
Hashtag we are funds.
Daily trying to secure the bag.
Yes. Or the people can't give you the bag when the bag's supposed to be given, right?
On time. On don't want to pay late fees. Hello.
They exist.
It's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
It's like, you know what's even crazier? Because when it's like corporations and other companies, we still charge our worth, but we are still charging way less.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And they, like, the disrespect is
absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, wow.
They just don't value it.
Yeah.
It's just.
But want the work and all these damn deliverables.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
They want your firstborn and your soul, but they want to pay $5 for it.
But they want to be in all the magazines, like, you know, now because we are whatever, want to be in everything, features, top, and it's just like,
it's those expectations. People don't manage them appropriately
because they don't have to do the work.
Right. They don't have to do the work. They just want the outcome.
Right.
That is part of when we were talking about challenges. That is one of them. Like, I'm sorry. You thought after being dormant for a year, you were gonna go viral within a month working with us?
Like, I'm not a magician.
What did you?
That part.
You're not even that hot.
Exactly.
Like, I'm trying to help you.
I know your mama thinks you hot, but that's about it.
Can we get a good foundation first before you even think about it?
Let's build you up. Like, we're not bashing. This is not about bashing. This is just telling you the real deal with the clients that people deal with and what we want you to be better at. Be better at being a better person, having a better product, having a better, like, serve, whatever
and,
you're trying to put out there.
Understanding
make it better.
Who you're hiring and what you're hiring them for. If you're doing PR or social, you need to understand those expectations. Like, you can't just expect to have a three month bring someone on board, have a couple of posts, and like, you're all of a sudden gonna get 1.1 million followers. That's not how it works.
At all.
Or basics, the difference between PR and social media. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's her gripe. That is her gripe every day.
She's about to rip out all her hair right now.
No, that's her hat on. Because I would have pulled it. But my thing is, like, for any client, before I even bring you on, I'm interviewing you on what the hell you know about PR and what you know about marketing. I need to know what your definition is in comparison to what I know it is.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to have me here wasting my time.
That part. Right.
Oh my gosh.
So, I can give you my questionnaire if y'all need it of what I break it down.
Here's the
if you can answer these questions, okay.
Because we have a questionnaire too, because we were running into the same problem and we were taking on clients. They didn't understand the strategy. We're like, okay, I just want stuff posted. Okay, well, what are your plans? So we created.
You don't just post your stuff.
Exactly. So we created a whole questionnaire. One person was like, wow, this really made me think about my business.
Before we came on, this was your business.
People don't know how to brand themselves, though, so that's clear.
They don't know how to self-reflect to even know, like, what they're selling.
People let the internet rush their ass.
That's what they do.
And then they want to come and hire and spend money, but it's just like, this is so purposeless. Like, you could keep your money. You know why? Because you ain't going to get it.
There we go.
I could tell you, keep your money.
There we go.
Because they ain't going to do nothing for you if you pay me.
Exactly.
Because ain't nothing that could be done for you. Because you haven't done it yourself.
Right.
Put it to work for you.
That.
First.
So we tell people that. Mm-hmm. And like, we can't move forward without a competitive analysis. You even know who your audience is.
So we
know
the free for all.
And then don't compare yourself to like national brands. Like, if you are creating a beauty product, don't say, well, you know, CoverGirl and, you know, it's Sephora. Oh, the people that have 8 figures in marketing budget? Okay, let's start small.
And we have been doing this for years.
Exactly.
And you want to pay $300.
And what about, the best is when they're like, oh, I don't have any competition.
Oh!
It's like, no, you didn't do your work.
Right.
You didn't do the work.
That's a lazy. That no one thought about this. And
right.
No, I've had this.
you the originator.
Exactly.
Pretty sure you have competition.
Everyone has competition. Everybody. You didn't do the work.
I just can't.
There's probably a market that exists for you that you don't even know exists.
Exactly.
Because you ain't doing your competitive analysis.
At least say, well, I haven't found something exact, right. But here yeah. are. No right. one does that work. They lazy.
They really come for us for the solution of, y'all gonna make me pop. This yes. is their thought process.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's very, like, it doesn't work for either party.
There's like a, yeah, it's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm. I just need, this needs
Jesus,
to be
I know, that got me.
This has been talked about on this podcast.
Right?
I need y'all to know. Listen.
Facts on facts.
Yeah. Well, moving into something else, let's talk about sponsorships. So you guys do such a great job of acquiring partnerships, sponsorships. Do you have any tips for people who want to be able to like do the same on their end?
Sure. I would say build a relationship before you actually need something from said person or company. So it doesn't, and then also give take. Mm-hmm. So yes, you need something, but what are you offering to this sponsor?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, are you filling a need, a void that the sponsor has?
Right.
If you're not, then what's the point of you coming to them?
Exactly.
Then no one's just going to give you money. Especially
like, what's the value?
Find the value. You know, does your event, does your project benefit them?
Right.
And be very clear on how that happens. And then also just following up. Okay, you did get the money or you did get the in-kind sponsorship.
Now what?
Now what? Exactly. You got to have some facts, some reports, some data to show that they benefited. Just in case they may have not seen it, you need a report.
There's a report that
This is how the event went.
It was successful. This is how,
exactly.
And sponsorship comes in different forms. A lot of times, everyone wants
the dollar.
They want a $10,000 check off the bat.
Make it rain.
What did you do?
But yeah,
for that $10,
like people basically
check.
Want like a sponsorship, and correct me if I'm wrong, is not for you to do your event. Like some people think it's like somebody that's gonna pay them to do their event.
Right.
Like
no,
you have to. It's like spend your own money, and then people will invest in you.
You have to provide an experience. So you know, to talk about give and take, if you have an audience that a certain brand wants, then basically that's the exchange. You're giving the brand exposure to this audience. Mm-hmm. For a certain dollar value.
Right.
But if they don't have the dollars, then what else can you exchange? So a lot of times, everyone wants to go for like the Fortune 500 brands, which is great, but look at maybe some B-level, even C-level brands and see what they can do for you. So maybe it's in kind, but maybe having their logo affiliated with your, or having their brand affiliated with your event could catapult it and give it leverage.
Mm-hmm.
What else can, maybe they can pull one of their CEOs or, you know, somebody that's a thought leader. Like, just think about
an email list.
Exactly.
Like, they
the
have
data is super important.
Mm-hmm.
So just thinking about, like, what is valuable? Dollars is always valuable, but if
but
you can't
else?
Get dollars, then what... Then if you can't get dollars, then what else can you exchange that can make your event cheaper, more efficient, and leverage it?
Right, absolutely.
So, and relationships, like, it's like a friend or a boyfriend. If I just met you yesterday, if you come to me next week and ask me to borrow $500, I'm going to look at you like you're crazy.
Yep.
It's a relationship. You have to foster a relationship. Find out what they need.
And show your receipts.
And show your receipts.
Like, they need, because I think a lot of the hard part, too, is, like, if it's, let's say, your first event, like, you know, what do they have to for you to reference that you've done before
Absolutely.
In the past
yeah.
to see that, okay, I see that they've done this, they could do it well.
That's
I
where
trust
partnerships
them.
Come in handy. So if it's your first event, then you need to partner with somebody that's been in the game. So somebody that's done it before. So, like, when we have a lot of separate experience, but when Benchmark was forming and we wanted to get in events, we started partnering with people who, you know, already had that audience. So we brought the logistics and the strategy. They brought the audience, and then therefore we were able to benefit from each other.
Absolutely.
So
great. You heard that here first. So, you know, being an entrepreneur is challenging. What lessons, if you could pick like 3 to 5 that you could share with our audience, they should know about being an entrepreneur or starting a business?
I'll do it.
She didn't mean that.
I'm even mad at that, because sometimes it ain't pretty. It's like, I'd rather do that.
finances with somebody else. And
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be pretty though, because if it wasn't, everybody would be an entrepreneur.
There we go.
I don't know. Everybody, it seems like everybody's doing it now, no?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not doing it correctly though.
It's not pretty. Understand that it's not pretty. Understand that it's going to be hard. Like, it looks pretty on social.
Yep.
It, you know, you see people and they're like, oh, you get to have brunch at, you know, whatever. You get to work till 4, but I was up till 4 a.m.
That's why brunch is at 4.
Exactly. They see freedom, but they don't see the cost that freedom comes at. So understanding that it's a challenge, and if you're up for the challenge, then do it.
Right.
And you can work a full-time job and still have a side hustle, and that makes you an entrepreneur, because that's how you build wealth. You don't build wealth from one revenue stream. So ideally, everybody needs to have like 3, 4, 5, 6 different revenue streams. So,
right.
Yeah.
I agree. Any others? For becoming an entrepreneur.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Have a plan.
Oh, that's a good one. Exit strategy plan for people even that are like working 9-to-5s and then want to leave them.
Yes.
I'm like, don't do it without the proper setup, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Have that, you know, stash ready for the days where
the rainy ones.
Yes, for those rainy days, for sure. I would say key is support. Make sure you surround yourself either with other entrepreneurs who get it.
Right.
Like how many times we're nodding our heads like, yes, because we get it. So you can't have entrepreneur talk with 9-to-5ers. I'm sorry, no offense, but they're not getting it. You know what I mean? You know, and you definitely work harder for yourself than when you're at an, I know I did.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, okay, it's up to what, I mean,
like,
until I got a headache, I'm like, okay, now I'm tapping out because I can't function.
But a check every 2 weeks doesn't compare to one.
I'm like, you have to, though, because if you don't do it, who else is going to do it?
No one's going to work harder for you than yourself.
We a one-man show here.
Sure. I was napping at my 9-to-5 and planning my next vacation every day.
Right.
So
things have changed.
You need to, right, now I'm not thinking about, I would like a vacation. I don't know when it's going to happen,
right,
but I would like a vacation. Whereas my 9-to-5, I could tell you when, where, and who I was going with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's already paid for.
Exactly.
I have other focuses now. You know, I'm thinking more about, oh, what's the next project we can do, or who the next client potentially could be, or who's the next partnership. You know, my focus, my vision is definitely different now as an entrepreneur. But definitely I would say a support group, support team. And don't forget your resources, you know. There are people that either you went to school with, people you work with, that can definitely be a resource to you, you know, as you embark on this journey. You never know who knows who, so definitely you can share it with your, share your journey with people. But definitely the people who get it.
Which is funny because,
not, you know, like, what are you doing? Like,
oh, questioning your non-availability, or questioning why you can't be somewhere, or why you're always doing this. Because if I don't do it, like, who else is? And I can't show you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say real quickly, while you are at the 9-to-5 though, build those contacts.
Yeah.
Like,
use your 9-to-5 to
exactly
leverage,
like, get meetings with people that you may not be able to get meetings when you leave. Have coffee with people that you may not be able once you leave that umbrella of the corporate. Just
leave on good terms if you can.
Definitely leave on good terms, and just try to spread your reach and spread your contacts as wide as you can while you have, you know, the umbrella of that corporate.
Speaking of, like, the resources thing, it's funny because me and Ayana met with Dilia, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Dilia mentioned you guys to us, and we already had Nomia. So it's
the world
crazy.
Is so small.
I forgot about that.
I was like, we know that. So that was funny. And then now going back to the clients thing, what kind of clients? Because, you know, we do want to bring on everybody because we don't want to lose that check if we don't have to. But do you guys choose a particular type of client depending on, like, what they, like, you know, what aligns with you guys' goals as a business, or, like, what your values are? Like, what type of clients do you seek?
Yes, I would say that now. I would say in the beginning, we're definitely like, we want to work, we're ready, we have a business, let's
work out for it. Yeah. Right. I mean, in the beginning, they say take it all on, and then you cultivate the specific types.
Yes. Oh, well, then we did it right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It felt like it was wrong.
No, I've definitely heard that in many, like, sit-downs and things, you take everybody on, and then you go weed in what type of specific, whether it's a specific
and industry. And it can never be wrong, because everything is a lesson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It just, sometimes it's a painful lesson.
Yeah. And if you're feeling wrong, because you're like, damn, it looks so easy over there. How are they doing it? I'm not sure. But you know what? I'm going to do this wrong by myself and make it right somehow.
It's going to hurt, but I'm going to keep going.
Right.
All right.
When is this contract over?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so we pretty much worked with everyone in the beginning, mm-hmm. and definitely, like I said, we were like, okay, I think we're good on hospitality.
Right.
Definitely at a point where we're like, oh, okay, do you cut checks on time? That's who we want to work with.
Yeah.
Do you have a budget?
Oh, you read my mind with that. You read my mind. Because people always talk.
If there's no money.
They always say, I don't know. No.
I think that you need to have money.
And you need to, there we go. And you need to have a certain amount. So, like, we'll tell people how much our services are or what the rate is. And they're like, oh, okay. But they don't think about the fact that they need to have this money consistently. Like, if you're going to keep us on a retainer, right. This is a consultant, then for 6 months, you need to have this amount of money.
Right.
And they don't think about that. So now we have a rule, which is, I believe it's, what, 4%? Marketing budget?
Yeah.
So basically, whatever your annual revenue is, at least 4% needs to be going to marketing. Because then we know, okay, well, this is an entire pool of money that you have working with. Then we know where we fit in.
Right.
If you just tell us.
You know where we fit in. She was thinking about this. She's just like, oh.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And that's the first thing people cut, right?
All the time.
Marketing. Yeah.
They cut marketing.
Yeah.
Because okay,
so how do people know about your business?
Yeah.
Because exactly. People don't see the value. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Because even in big corporations, they don't get it either.
They expect immediate return. Okay, one post equals $1. Right.
Right. And it doesn't work that way.
It's so frustrating.
It's brand awareness.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, let's let people know that you exist. How about that?
Exactly. And it takes time. Like, think about all the noise that you get hit with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You really expect to stand out as a brand with only a small amount of money. If you don't know how much money you have in a budget, then how are we supposed to know how to get the word out?
Right.
I just step out of this door, I'm going to get hit with 20 messages just on my phone.
Right.
Let alone before I hit the street, and then there's the taxis, there's the buses, there's this, there's that. Mm-hmm. There's ads everywhere. Yeah. Everybody's vying for your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time, but you got to have money. You got to want to invest in it.
And there has to be a good, compelling story to go with it.
Yeah. So I got
to
care.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of stuff that I don't care about. I'm like, oh, I saw that before. I could care less.
Right.
And maybe it's not a something you care about today, but you might care about it in a year.
Right.
Like, so that's still important that you saw it.
Exactly.
But, like, people need to think of, like, think about your own buying habits and how, what keeps you engaged.
Yeah.
And think about how you can apply that, because people be so stuck on numbers. I'd rather 25 paying clients than 2,500 that don't give a shit and is not trying to, like, you know, help me. Because these 25 paying ones, I need to pay attention to them and see, because they've invested. So now I need to invest back in them, and maybe next year they'll pay for my next whatever I'm trying to sell. But these 25 ones are way more important. But people get so caught up in everything else.
All the time.
And then, like, next thing you know, their business doesn't even exist anymore.
And then they're cutting marketing.
There we go.
And
it all comes back full circle. Full circle.
Wow, this is too good.
Well, now that we have a good idea of what marketing, PR, and social is about, right? Let's talk about Brooklyn Marketing Week. So how did you ladies get involved for Brooklyn Marketing Week?
Involved? We created it.
Yes.
Last year. So we wanted it came about twofold.
Okay.
One, as a way to brand ourselves. This is our signature event. We do, you know, small mini ones throughout the year, but this is our, here we are, this is what Benchmark can do.
Right.
Two, we definitely wanted to help clients, potential clients, or just small businesses, entrepreneurs in general, with marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to promote yourself, how to pitch to people, how to do sales. All of that will help you grow and be able to compete with the big dogs. And then also we felt like people were sleeping on Brooklyn. We know how awesome Brooklyn is.
Right. We speak about this all yeah. the time.
What parts of Brooklyn are you from?
I'm from Flatbush.
Crown Heights.
Bushwick over here.
Oh.
Crown Heights.
Skyla.
Skyla, oh, duh.
Skyla Rice in the house.
Yes, yes. I is
383. Thank you.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Brooklyn Tech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, I went to school in Manhattan. I went to school in Brooklyn. That's I went to Norman Thomas.
We still accept.
Ah, okay.
Uptown. Yeah, no, Midtown. 33rd and Park.
33rd.
Yeah. There's a high school?
Yeah, the big one. Like,
oh wow!
But now it's become.
Did you guys do the multiple schools?
Yeah, multiple schools.
My school
did oh, like, I think now there's no schools. I don't even know if there's school in there anymore. Like, so sad. It was such a great school. Like,
yeah,
it was a great school. Like, you had to take a test to go in. Mm-hmm. It was dope, but I don't know.
New York.
New York. Went to shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We were talking about Brooklyn.
Putting Brooklyn on the map.
Yes.
It's on the map, but it's not on the map like it's not could be. Like it could be.
Yeah. It's a step ahead of the Bronx.
Everything is a step ahead of
the Bronx. The Bronx has a lot of shade.
It is. And I grew up passing the Bronx too. Like, I've been passing the Bronx.
I don't mess with
that. It's just the Bronx is too separated from a lot of things. And, like, you know, I feel like when you're in Brooklyn, people don't want to go uptown. When you're uptown, you want to go to Brooklyn.
It's a
it's
trip.
It's hard to do events in Brooklyn.
Far. It is.
Like, we have a plan. If we're going to Harlem, we're like, okay, so
this is our entire day.
Yeah,
you got to do everything.
Exactly. So we're going to go see everybody. Who else we know in Harlem?
Right.
We'll be here. Come see us, because we might not see you for 6 months.
Right. It's true.
But, and just the train situation.
They don't help. MTA, get your life.
I want to make Brooklyn hot too. Like, there's so much potential in Brooklyn.
It does. And it's coming together. There's a lot of new amazing things happening in Brooklyn.
There is. Mm-hmm. So with that, like, we want to make sure that small businesses and entrepreneurs don't get pushed out of it. Because a lot of what we're seeing in Brooklyn benefits people with a higher income.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily helping people that, have less than $500,000 in the bank, or that can't afford to buy one of these high-rise condos. Mm-hmm. And so we were experiencing potential clients that they knew what they needed, but they couldn't afford our services. Okay. And it's like they didn't know where to begin, and they didn't know what to do. And so we figured creating this event would be a good outlet. Mm-hmm. By bringing in people that they've got the receipts for days.
Right, I seen the name.
Exactly. So they have the receipts for days to prove that they've done this, they're excellent at it, and now they're here at your disposal for these 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring your questions, you bring your problems, and these people are literally going to be like your advisors and your mentors for three days.
It's like a crash course.
It's a masterclass. Yes, it's a crash course. And think about the relationships that you can pull from this.
Of course.
Just from the speakers alone, not even including the attendees.
The attendees that they could be the missing link or puzzle.
Exactly.
Help partner, collaborate.
Yeah.
We're excited.
That always happens. That last part you mentioned always happens at any one of our events. We have quality people on the panel, quality people attending our events.
Uh-huh.
So many partnerships have been created from the events that we
would just like, super dope. I hope that
where
happens.
Where is that residual check? That referral check?
Can I get that referral check?
It's like an affiliate program.
Yes, that's dope.
What's up with that? So, it's definitely an event conference that you should be at for the entire weekend. But if you can't make the entire weekend, definitely come at least
and choose one
of the days.
That, like, which we are official media partners to that event.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
So we're excited. We'll be there on Saturday on live tweeting, Snapchatting, just giving people behind the scenes to get you to realize what you missed out on.
So you can come to the third year of Brooklyn Marketing.
There we go. That part right there.
So tell us, like, what are you looking forward to most during this Brooklyn Marketing Week?
Like a new goal from last year?
Yeah.
So it changed. So last year it really was a week. So last year we did it after work for 5 days straight.
Oh, wow.
So just taking the content.
Oh.
She was like, oh, wow.
It is intense.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? We thought that by doing it on a weekend, it would allow people to maybe be able to come out that couldn't do it after work. Mm-hmm. But it ends up being just as much work. Oh, yeah. So Friday is after work. Saturday is all day. And then Sunday is a brunch. So Friday is for startups that are looking for mentorship and funding. So we're bringing people from VCs, we're bringing serial entrepreneurs, we're bringing people that are close to that startup world to really give you mentorship and give you a masterclass on how to get the money,
right.
How to be able to pitch to the right people. We have a pitch workshop. So there's tons of pitch competitions where you can win money.
Right.
But if you don't, like you said, people don't know how to brand themselves. Mm-hmm. We have a pitch coach there that's going to walk you through. And she's won 6 figures just off of pitch competitions. Wow. So she's got receipts.
That's exciting. That's a need to be at.
Yes.
That's
a need to be at. And then Tasha can talk about a Saturday. Or you want to talk about the brunch? Let her talk about the brunch. Because she loves the brunch.
Oh, my gosh.
The brunch is her baby. Talk about the brunch.
Tasha's hilarious, guys.
This is a team effort.
It is a team effort. But so everyone has, like, Tasha loves HGTV. And so she's got this vision. I'm excited for you guys to see the vision about the brunch.
Thanks for the pressure. Because now people are going to come through like,
let me see these tulips in the middle. Let me see what this centerpiece looks like.
Did I set the expectation too high?
Okay. I would.
Okay. So let's bring it back. We'll bring it back to the content.
No. It is not too high. You do have the skills. And this
one. There we go. There we go.
Get this work, y'all.
Right. Yes. That's why I'm looking forward to the 23rd, where I'm going to sleep.
There's tickets still available?
Tickets are still available.
Yes. So buy them, tell them where they could get them at.
Yes. So go to bkmarketingweek.com. Mm-hmm. So bkmarketingweek.com. You can also search for it on Eventbrite.
Yes.
All the details are there. The speaker lineup, the agenda. Saturday is Small Business Saturday from 11 to 4:30. Workshops for days. Mm-hmm. Bring in paper or pen, or since it's 2017, bring your laptop and come to work. We got people teaching you how to do social, how to do SEO, how to do video, mm-hmm. how to do PR and get yourself on television. Mm-hmm. Like, these people.
So make sure to go on the website and look at who are the speakers. Yeah. Research them. See who can, like, who you want to speak to that's going to help with whatever aspect of your business you're going there for, so that you can ask the right questions. You know, a little, like, you know,
you can be prepared.
You can be prepared for what you need. Don't go there with, like, looking like a chicken with no head, and you don't really get what you need from it.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Because that's the whole point of it. I hate when people come to events and they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, it's very frustrating. Yeah, no. Like, what's their purpose?
Yeah. And it's just like everybody wants to speak to everybody.
Right.
Like, you know, these speakers, there's people that wait in line. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you don't want your turn to come and now you just wasted your time, their time, the person behind your
that
time.
Part.
Like,
be strategic about it.
Be strategic.
And that's why we created, like, the workshop format, mm-hmm. so that you don't have to stand in that line. So ideally, you get to spend 45 minutes with these people and they're teaching you stuff. So then, at least by the end of 45 minutes, if you didn't plan, you have what you're going to ask them. Because they sat with you for 45 minutes each. It's not panels, with the exception of the brunch. Everything else is one-on-one.
It's custom.
It's very custom. So now you have FaceTime with these people. So come prepared.
There's not many events that are like that.
Yeah, right. No.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really unique.
That's our whole point of all the events that we do, is to make it a great experience. Mm-hmm. We like to call ourselves, you know, experiential marketing, because we want you, from the time you step in to the time you leave, to experience this event. You know, what you're feeling, what you're smelling, what you're hearing, mm-hmm. The knowledge that you gain. There has to be something that you're going to walk away. We're not doing anything without takeaways. You have to have, there has to be some type of takeaway.
Absolutely.
And then if you didn't catch it, we're going to send you a newsletter with the recap of the takeaways that you should have gotten from it.
Yeah.
So, like, especially, I didn't get to really talk about the brunch, but the brunch is the only panel per se, mm-hmm. that is happening during the conference,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, we talked about being on Instagram and looking cool, but how do you benefit from that financially?
Right.
You know what I mean? How do you get those strategic partnerships and then scale? you know, it seems cool to be an influencer, but how do they really do it? And how do you sustain it? Is that just a temporary thing? You know, so that is the
purpose. That's a job in itself.
Right. Exactly. People only see the glitz and the glam. They don't see the work that goes into it. Because you gotta keep securing those bags.
As an influencer.
I don't know. Can you make that look cute and sexy? I don't know how you do that. You know, because you show like, oh, okay, I'm having a meeting or whatever. That's great. But like, you at your computer or you at the
upper end. It's 3 a.m.
Right, I was going to say 3 a.m.
How do you...
It's a lot of little moving parts for this one $1,000 check.
Exactly, exactly.
So you got to do that one $1,000 check like 7 times so that you're consistent.
Because that's right.
So think about whatever it is times 7.
That's the part right there. Consistency. Consistency. How do you keep doing it? It's nice to get one check, but the landlord needs his check every month.
And there's 12 months a year, y'all.
Exactly. That's 12 rent payments, y'all. Mm-hmm.
So. Amongst the lifestyle we try to live out here, because neighbor.
Right. So hard, those mimosas cost y'all.
Netflix that's like
trying all of it.
Exactly. Just really, really quickly. I just wanted to like give them like a couple of names of people that are gonna be so that they know.
You about the name drop?
Yes.
But in a good way. In a good way. Like these are just shout outs.
And you have some amazing people.
They are.
Because
we've been to a couple of
See, y'all gotta come out. So we have Talisa Daughtry, who is phenomenal.
Fly Technista.
She was named one of the 8 women to follow in STEM by Bustle Magazine. She's worked with everyone from Samsung, the White House, y'all, Google. Like, she's got receipts for days. Mm-hmm. She's right now in an incubator with eBay. Like, she's dope.
Super down to earth too, because I got to
exactly.
Like, she's willing to help. She wants more of us in that realm.
Absolutely.
So she's for the people.
She is for the people.
This woman can code. Like, she coded till her hand fell off.
She real talk. Well, not fell off, but like.
Like, she needed to go to the spread. Like, she was going in.
Yes.
Like, she did her own website.
Yeah.
Like, from scratch. She does it from scratch.
Like, think of back in the day, MySpace. Remember when you used to do yours?
Yes.
Like, on another level, like on crack. She's
exactly.
She's
so dope. We have Angelina Darsaw, who is one of Google's digital coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her whole purpose, she's also a professional coach, but one of her purposes working at Google is to bridge the digital divide and to help people in brown communities get more acquainted with the possibilities of Google for their business and digital marketing as a whole.
They offer by themselves so many resources for business.
Exactly. To just have somebody that's like working with Google now be able to help you with your business. Like, you can't put a price on that.
And Angelina's dope.
She is dope.
She's dope.
She's very dope. We got Chastity Cooper. We got dope Chastity Cooper. She works with her agenda now, and she also has her own platform. She's super dope.
She's been featuring in Allure. She was featured like
so many things.
She's right now. She had a partnership with Capital One. She's from Syracuse, and her and my sister went to school together. So that's how I trust.
See the world. Is
It's super small. And I swear that I'm Team Orange. Like, I swear that I am. I use my sister's connect.
She
y'all be like, yo, who be your sister's friends? Right. Like, they're our friends.
It's like our. Like,
yes, I love that. Syracuse did. The people coming out of Syracuse
is strong.
Orange, yes. That's that orange strong. Is real. And just the people that come out of there, their work ethic, like, they all do amazing things. It's crazy. Like,
they're popping.
It's dope. Yeah, they're popping. And I need to go there.
Next lifetime, I'm going to Syracuse.
Okay. Right? Okay. Yeah.
We got Janelle Martinez from Anti-Latina.
Oh,
2020 show.
She's
super dope.
Janelle is so dope. Who else we got, girl?
We have, the list is long. We have Daniel Calderon.
Yes, I got to meet him too.
Oh, he is the best.
Yes. You was at the Microsoft panel, right? The one that does VCs, and he helped with Blavity, or he invests in Blavity. Is it Daniel Calderon him?
No, you're thinking Brian.
Brandon Bryan.
But he has his own. It's Harlem Venture Partners, I believe.
Yes. Danny Calderon was in something else.
He's his company is 430
Co. 430 Co.
Yes.
He used to work with Amazon, yes. And then he was able to branch out and create his own influencer agency. Yes. And he's worked with everybody from Kiehl's to a bunch of different brands.
I met him at Kiehl's.
Yeah, so he is super dope, super warm. And he has, like, both the creative and the strategic coming from Amazon. Like, and we know how, you know, smart you got to be to work with him.
he's a double threat. For sure.
Yes.
Cool. I'm excited.
That's yes. We have some, I think we got some, and then we have our investors.
Yes.
On Friday. So, well, some good, like, founders and people who would give, like, great advice. You mentioned Cammy already.
Yes.
From Papa Plus, who's won, like, a gazillion dollars from all her pitching. So she's going to, like, take money on the table.
There's so much money. She's won money for Black Enterprise. She pitched in front of Dame Dash. Shark Tank. Damon John. Dame Dash.
That would be nice.
You got money?
Dame,
you got money to give? Let us know, Dame. Let us know. But no, we also have people from investment firms. So we have Rafaela Sapire from Blue Seed Capital. Blue Seed Collective. They're a Brooklyn-based venture capitalist firm.
Oh, wow.
And they focus on Brooklyn-based startups. So we made sure to find people that really had a vested interest in Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah. So,
where do you guys find these people? Like, just research.
Research. Yes, we do get some recommendations. Yeah. Like, people, because, again, we've done events over the past 3 years. People are like, yo, this is cool. Let me know if there's a need. Mm-hmm. I'd love to speak on a panel. We're like, okay cool. So we keep up. Exactly. Yeah. So when there's time, okay. You know what? I know, you know, you were interested. Is this something that you would be interested in doing with us?
Absolutely.
So, it's either referrals, research, and then prior events. That's how we find our panel.
Awesome. So everyone go to the website, www.bkmarketingweek.com. Get some tickets.
Yes.
So we can see you there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
That part.
Before we kind of like wrap up, we kind of want to get into this whole Dove debacle.
Just very lightly.
As marketing.
That's what they wanted. They wanted to be light.
They wanted. Ooh.
Just saying.
Wow. You heard that here.
The shade.
Let me bring the sun back out.
So, Earth Girl Magazine, if you guys are familiar with them or not, they did a poll. Mm-hmm. And 60% people felt like it wasn't racist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like,
I can see that.
I even had a group chat discussion amongst my own friends, and two of us, the ones that spoke on it were three of us, and two, we both felt it was racist, and the other person was like, no, I've seen it as, they just wanted the moisture for everyone, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I was just like, okay, but I didn't see that.
Nice shy.
I heard you.
I hear you.
I disagree.
Right.
So what do you ladies think? Deep sighs.
I just want to know who was in the room. Were there any brown people in the
room?
Did
you read the article of the young lady who was the model? She made a statement. And she
what'd she say?
Yes. So she wrote on the Guardian op-ed piece.
Uh-huh.
And she said that everybody, the way she was treated by Dove was so great, and everybody in the room was on the same page, and she feels that the way it was portrayed on the internet, it was taken out of context because it was just a snippet. She was like, I was so proud to represent for my people, and they had told me that I was going to be first. Like, because, you know, because I told my friend,
yes.
What if it started from the Indian girl, then the black girl?
Right.
But it went from black to light, and I feel like that's what the impact
that
for
was
me
the
impact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, if I would have known that I was going to be first in the, you know, of taking off the shirt, I would have completely said no.
Right.
But I didn't know how the editing was going to be.
Exactly.
So even I don't blame them, because again, they could come into things knowing one thing and then another outcome comes.
Oh no, I would
never.
Yeah,
it's never the model.
Yeah, she said that, like, you know, just to kind of not help Dove, but just like say that
like their
intention was not from a place to record it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when they seen it, the people in the room that you're asking about,
you should have done a focus group something.
But that's the part.
Because what you want to intend to do doesn't matter if what happens is not
that. It's about the perception.
The perception.
And if the perception is that you are now saying that something is offensive, you need to bring the people in the room that would be offended, because you're not going to be offended because you're not seeing that way because that's not your perspective. Mm-hmm. It is so important.
That's not your experience.
It's not your experience. Mm-hmm. So they probably pitched it and everyone loved it, and conceptually, if you take the colors out, okay, it makes sense. But once you add that, it changes the whole context.
The order would have changed the context.
The order would have changed the context.
And my friend didn't respond when I said that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know,
right.
It's wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Like, the order makes all of the difference.
Yeah. You talked about storytelling earlier. It's the story you tell. You change one piece of the story, it's a different narrative.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
So everyone keeps talking about, was there any brown people or anyone else in the room that could kind of chime in, mm-hmm, and give this? I just don't believe that there wasn't someone in the room.
Right?
That was, so like, they didn't say anything?
I really...
Or they didn't listen to them.
One of the other. I don't know.
But you feel there was brown people?
I feel there had... I feel like this crossed someone's desk that was brown or non-Caucasian. I do, because this goes through many chains. How is it possible that this got put on TV?
So, do you think the post, like the final cut, got to a brown person's eyes? Because there may have been a brown person when they pitched the idea, and even when they wrote, when they filmed it, did a brown person see the final cut?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because that's where they went wrong.
That's
honestly.
We know that Dove has a hit. I mean, people pulled out the history of them showing like the whiny,
like
skin.
Yeah.
But then we know that Shonda Rhimes is an advocate. Like, you know, Dove does try to
get
diversity
in women. So I think that's what they were trying to do. They have like the Indian, they have the Asian, they, mm-hmm, they try to put everyone in there.
Yeah.
Again, the storytelling and the order, mm-hmm, of it. Editing, that's why people win awards for editing. It's so huge. That would have changed if the last person was the black woman.
Absolutely.
Totally different. Nobody would even talk about
here,
old school.
It's colorism.
But
clearly.
Yeah.
Colorism.
But it's also, it's just unfortunate.
It is an unfortunate
situation because many of us use Dove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the dermatologist recommends it. Oh, you have stocking?
I mean, like 9 out of 10 dermatologists recommend.
I opened a new Dove yesterday.
No, like, I have.
I didn't go out and buy new ones, but I'm using my Dove that I have.
Right.
I'm
finished though.
Y'all not getting no more of my money.
I'm gonna buy for a little bit because I'm figuring out a way I might buy it again.
Because me and our feelings.
Y'all not gonna get my money right now.
Y'all not gonna get my money for maybe the rest of this quarter.
Black soap.
Black soap
never
fails. But
something we were speaking about, aside from Dove, there's so many brands that technically we shouldn't be buying from any of them.
Right.
But then how will we live? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like a catch 22. It's like, I guess the ones that
in our own. But then when we do that, it's like, but why are you so expensive though?
Because I have a big corporation.
Exactly.
I'm just starting out.
And quality.
Because sometimes
you
lack
on quality. Is not.
Yeah.
Good.
And then we don't want to support because we don't want to use that.
Yeah, because it's not the greatest of the
people. So what do we do?
Yeah.
I want to support you. Trust me. But I don't want
to
break out.
However, I need you to
see of this product.
You need some more chemists on your product.
Even if you have enough to make 7, make the 7. Don't make 20, and then you gotta like stretch out the ingredients.
But
like,
to bring it full circle, that goes back to what you were saying about collaboration. So if there's 5 to 10 or more
scrub mask, whatever.
Exactly. Then why don't y'all come together and form a collective that's for us, by us, and then you can produce more quality stuff.
Exactly.
And then we can buy it, and we don't have to look.
Because one, people don't know how to brand themselves, so they're not thinking that way. And two, people are about self.
People are about self.
Especially within our community.
Our people.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I just need everybody to like listen to Minister Farrakhan, like his everything he speaks on is like, he has the recipe and the solution for how we would work. If people would just give it a chance and do it, because he says it very blatantly, like, the Chinese people have their thing.
Yeah.
These people have their thing. Everybody but us don't have our thing because we're so combative, so competitive, so crabs in the barrel mentality, and we ain't going nowhere. There's only a crop of us that are at the top.
Yeah. A percentage of something is more than 100% of nothing.
Agreed.
So,
that must be a one-liner.
Up with us. Just yeah. pull us up. Yeah. I want to win too. Come get me.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we all can win. We can all have a slice of pie.
Exactly.
Well, y'all heard it here first. This is how we feel about Dove. Yeah. Are we going to stop wearing Dove? I'm using Dove.
I mean,
TBD, but
for now,
I love my black soap. So I'm gonna rock with black soap for now.
Yeah, I do want to see. Do you guys have input on? I don't have any Dove in the house right now, so
so you're good.
So you're not. Yeah.
I'm not buying new Body Works. Keep it coming.
Exactly. Shout out to Piper Wire for the deodorant.
Yes.
They like a natural deodorant.
Very natural. Ooh, charcoal.
It don't keep you stinky.
No, she's using it now.
She's good.
Yeah. Nobody smells how she good.
I need to look into it. I'm a beauty queen. So I'm always like looking into the next good product.
Check out Piper Wire.
They even do a monthly subscription. She was actually one of our She Bosses at a panel that we had earlier.
Is Piper
Piper Y?
W-A-I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. I'm going to look into that.
Yes.
So a few things before we wrap up.
Yes.
Hashtag obsessed with. It is a segment that we have where we, show someone we admire, our version of Woman Crush Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we want to know, from you two, who would be your hashtag obsessed with? It could be a woman, man, platform, whatever.
Yeah. What are you obsessed with currently?
Who has, made an impact some way, somehow?
Or just the way they move in business.
Yeah, you like what they see, what they do.
I'm gonna take the celebrity route, not because it's a cop out, but because she knows this. Like, I'm obsessed with Tracee Ellis Ross.
Oh, that's true.
It's a twofold. I'm obsessed with Tracee Ellis Ross and Taraji. So I always tell them that I'm their little sister. They just don't know it. All of our names start with the letter T. Let's just make it happen. We're all related.
Yes.
But no, honestly, I like Tracee Ellis Ross because, first of all, I love when people are just living their best life. And she's living her best life. Just glow to
infinite. How excited
are you
about the JCPenney collaboration?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I'm getting those pieces.
Yes.
This is awesome.
I'm totally going to buy it. Super affordable. It's super pretty. It looks like it goes for all body types. She thinks about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And she made all the pieces.
Yes. And the price is right. JCPenney, hello. Yeah. They're not about to charge you $200 for some tracksuit.
I think the highest is it goes from
$89.99.
Yeah, $90.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. Another reason why I love her. She's living her best life in her 40s. So a lot of times people think you live your best life in your 20s, which is nice, but she's in her 40s living the best life she can. Yeah. So just don't give up on yourself if you haven't gotten to where you want to be.
People like her are making me excited to become 40, right?
She's 44 or something. It's
And she's just so authentic.
Yeah.
We love her. So
that's exciting. When she does her freestyle rap.
Yeah.
T-Murda. Did you see when she did it for Apple Music and with Big Sean?
Yes.
Oh, that was the best.
Good. That was so good.
I love T-Murda.
She's funny.
Oh, goodness.
Your little sister says hey.
So, Tracy, you heard that.
Hey, Tracy.
And Taraji, why her?
Taraji is amazing for almost the same reason. Just seeing the evolution of both their careers and them living their best life in their 40s. And we're all very Brooklyn, so we're all straight talk.
Yes.
And Taraji just has it.
She does.
She's just
No
sugarcoating. She's just going to tell you what it is. And so I love her for that. She's the best.
Awesome.
And yours? Oh, dear. I don't think I'm obsessed.
Obsessed.
But I would say Trevor Noah. So I watch it when I go home at 11 o'clock. I'm like,
he's funny.
I'm not home yet. Or I have it recorded.
Okay.
I do follow him on social media. I love his perspective because he's an outsider per se. Yes, he's a black man, but still it's what a person who's not born and raised here, their point of view. Mm-hmm. And I just laugh because I'm like, oh my God, this is so silly. But we're so used to it, or it's an everyday thing, occurrence in the United States, that you're just like, oh, wait a minute. I never thought about it that way. It's it's nice to hear it, or not nice, but interesting to hear it from an outsider's point of view.
Right.
it's like, for instance, one time when I went to Paris and Bush was the president, hearing it from other people's perspectives, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Right. Europe in general.
Right.
Okay. They were like, so I can only imagine if I went now what they would say.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be, it's so funny you say that because when I went to Cuba, everyone kept talking to me about Trump. And they were like, "You're president," like, yes. And I was like, "First of all, he's not my president."
I don't claim him,
right? Second, and they give me that look. They're like,
"Okay." Yes, same thing.
Right.
I like that. Same thing.
You're like, "I'm with you. I know he's crazy."
Right. That's what I said. That's what
can
words.
I do?
Right.
What can I do? Okay. So yes, Trevor.
Okay.
I guess I'm going with I know it's supposed to be woman crush, but I'm going with the guys.
Again. No, that's totally fine.
Charlamagne the God.
Oh.
He's
real.
Yes. Yes. I love his evolution.
Yes.
You know, as a man and also in radio.
Yep.
What he's done for himself and for the community, the culture. You know? Also, I mean, from the books. And then my favorite segment of his is Donkey of the Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he brings to light some things I didn't know about,
right,
you know, because I am in my zone, worse right. now with Brooklyn Marketing Week. I hardly right. know, but my alarm clock is set. So 8 o'clock, it comes up. Mm-hmm. I hear it, and I'm like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then he breaks it down in his ghetto colloquialism, the best he can. Look,
I'm not the highest dispenser, okay?
Okay. I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary, but I do know that this don't make no goddamn sense. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. I'm like, damn right. No, it don't.
He's like, this is what I'm trying to tell y'all. And so he gets it from both points, yeah, which is really good. Like he
has really objective.
Yeah,
he's good, honest.
But that's why people can't get mad. Like he calls anyone out.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone can get it.
Everyone.
This is where
that's how I feel though. So I agree with him. Usually I agree with most of the things.
Yeah, me too. I do. And I'm just like, okay. Usually I don't with like most people.
Yeah.
But this guy. Yeah. Okay,
he's real.
There's an occasional reach.
Yeah.
And I let him slide. I let him slide.
Because
he's so good at what he does. Sometimes he'd be pushing him, but I'd be like, you know what? You ask what people are afraid.
I'm gonna let you slide.
That part.
Slide. Yeah, he asks what I be thinking of things that I wanna. If I was there, I would ask, and he asks them. I'm like, yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
I got my hands up.
Awesome. So that's what he does. All right. So last thing. Yeah. Rapid fire round. Mm-hmm. So we're just gonna spit some questions out, and we just want both of you to answer whatever comes to mind first.
Oh,
they eat
you. That is dangerous.
They eat your
personality.
Yeah, yin and yang. Here we go.
So the first one is beer, wine, or cocktails. Which one would you prefer?
Cocktails.
Wine.
Oh, look at that. Favorite book of all time?
Alchemist.
The Tipping Point.
I'm gonna add those to my list. Well, that one I should have been right.
I read that one. I read both actually.
Favorite place to visit?
London.
Mm-hmm. I like London too. I've been
Panama.
Ooh,
that's where
I've been to those places. I feel so well traveled.
Hey, you're Panamanian?
Yes.
Well, no.
Oh, you're Panamanian? Yeah. Look at that.
That's why Crown Heights, because that's Panamanian though.
Yo, Panama Parade was this Saturday.
My mom's in the band.
You were lit.
It was fire.
Yes, I was there on Saturday. If you watch my Instagram story, I was there and I also posted.
Cool.
That's keeping the personal and the business separate, so it's on my personal
page. Right. I was going to say, I don't think we follow you guys personally.
I was looking for them.
So, okay.
So I follow y'all.
You gotta separate. Follow us.
Yeah. And then lastly, what are your favorite quotes? Or like affirmations or one-liners, like we like to call them. Like we kind of like help you.
Straight talk makes for straight understanding.
Exactly. Straight talk makes for straight understanding.
And then be anxious for nothing, but be prepared for anything.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And yours? Putting you on the spot over here.
Yeah.
We've been putting you on the spot all
the time.
We just need like a spotlight right here.
Oh my gosh. I don't need like
Just be. That's a quote. Just be.
And are we quoting you on that?
Oh my god. Tiffany, what do I say? What do I quote?
Girl, bye.
She said girl, bye. Are we quoting you on that?
No, we're going to call. No, no, no. No, don't call her that. I was going to say, you always ask, where's the money? What's your budget?
These are quotes, y'all. Really. Where's the money? Where's the budget?
Stuff I always say. They real quotes, though. No, what's your budget?
What's your budget? For real.
But I like
fix it, Jesus.
Fix it, Jesus.
I say that all the time.
Fix it, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes, I call on him.
Fix
yes.
it, Jesus.
Lord, yes.
That is her
when, quote. Who else am I supposed to call on?
I agree.
Fix it.
All right. Like so it. We earlier introduced you guys to our audience of how we think of you, but we want you to kind of introduce yourselves to everyone and what you want to leave them with.
Buy those tickets. Now I get it when people get on stage and want to like plug.
Yeah.
Buy those tickets.
So yeah, bkmarketingweek.com. My name is Tiffany. That's Tasha. You can find us at THEBCGNYC. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on the gram and even on Facebook, the BCGNYC. BK Marketing Week is the 21st, the 20th to the 22nd, and BK all day.
We represent Brooklyn. We represent women. Mm-hmm. We represent entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And we just want to help everyone succeed. That is our goal with our events, our conference, and with our business, our clients. That's what we do. We use our skills to help other people succeed. And we hope in the process that we succeed as well.
We're stronger together.
Facts.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much. It has been such a pleasure. Many laughs. It was nice having you and having the perspective from two women who are in business together and partners to another fellow two women in business and partners. So I wish you guys many more years of success and that we keep this going.
Yes.
Speak it. Speak that life.
Later, y'all. Bye.